Welcome to the Word Podcast. The Lord God has given us His Word. Let us learn it. Let us live it. Let us rejoice in it. Spread the Word.
Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We're at the beginning of a new thing that we're going to be examining for a period of time. We're going to be looking at the book of Hebrews. And Hebrews has so many truths in it, folks. If you've never studied Hebrews before, I think you're going to be amazed at what all we see. And so let's go to the first chapter. We're just going to take it line by line, step by step, precept by precept, even as the Word says. We looked at the first couple of verses in the last episode. So Hebrews 1:1, let's look at it again, says this. God, don't you love that? First word, first thing out of the gate, God. So we sort of know what's going on. None of this, hi, y'all, this is me writing to this group, and et cetera, which is the habit of some. Like Paul always did that. He would say hi, he would say bye, he'd mention some things. Not here. A lot of people now believe that Paul wrote Hebrews. As a matter of fact, some of the best resources that I usually use in studying the Word of God believe that Paul wrote Hebrews. I don't think he did. It really doesn't matter, okay? It doesn't matter at all. But people want to fight over it, don't you know that? They want to argue over it. They want to debate, okay? Yeah, they want to have an argument. But little things like this sort of help me think that perhaps Paul didn't write it because he didn't greet him. He didn't announce that it was him that was writing. Whoever the author is jumps right in and says this, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son. So we see a timing thing from the very beginning. God, after, so he's reflecting back. He's pointing backwards in time. To what? Well, he's pointing to how God has spoken to the fathers in prophets and through prophets. And he did it in many, many, many different ways. Ways we often don't even think about. Fire coming down from heaven. Well, that's a prophetic word, isn't it? Yeah, that type of thing. But in these last days, he's spoken to us in his Son. So now we're introduced to the Son. Who's the Son? The Lord Jesus Christ. And he's letting us know from the beginning that the Lord has spoken to us in his Son. Okay, in his Son, through his Son. And the Lord has given us a timing marker right here. In these last days. And so that can mean a couple of things. It definitely means that in the most recent times, in these later of days, in these days of our life, he's spoken to us in his Son. That is true, particularly from those who were receiving this letter, and we'll learn more about them shortly. The ones who'd received these letters, that the Son had spoken literally in their lifetime. I mean, literally in some of their lifetime. So it's been in these recent days that the Lord's spoken to us. But there's also the understanding right here that from the time that the Lord took on the form of flesh, that the last day calendar was getting a little more defined, right? Because a lot of times people always say, well, you know, are we in the last days? Are we in the last days? Well, from one point of view, what Hebrews 1:2 says right here, we've been in the last days from the time that Jesus was born. And that's absolutely true. So God has spoken to us in his Son, and then we learn some things about the Son. We're going to learn so many things, folks, about the Son. We've already covered the bottom line in the previous episode. Here's the bottom line. Again, I'm going to say this dozens of times to where we really, really know it. The theme of Hebrews is that Jesus is better. Therefore, believe. Jesus is better. Our response? Believe. And we're going to see that he is the great high priest. Okay, we're going to see all this stuff. So he is, according to verse 2, whom he, the Father, appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And we touched upon this briefly in the previous episode, but just think about this. The Son was appointed heir of all things. Heir. Now, that's really interesting. We're going to see more about this in chapters down the road. But usually when you have the idea of heir, there's the idea of inheritor, right? That you're going to inherit something. But to inherit something, that which was before has to pass away. And if we're talking about parental units, that means that the parents have to die. And when the parent dies, then the son inherits. Well, this is different from the beginning. He appointed him heir of all things. But as we're going to see, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit are one in the mystery of the eternal covenant relationship of the Godhead. God will never die, so Jesus can't be an appointed heir in that sense that he's going to take over the role of God. No, because he is God. But there are roles in functioning of Father, Son, and Spirit. And one of the roles of function is that he's the heir of all things. But then, through whom also he made the world. The world was made through the Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning, in Genesis 1:1, you see that God created the heavens and the earth. It's in John 1 that we begin to see some things about what happens. And then in Hebrews 1, we gain even more understanding. The Lord Jesus is the one that spoke everything into being. Now, just think about that. He was appointed heir. Now, we're going to find out Jesus was not created. He is the only begotten Son. You see that in John 3:16. You see it in 1 John. He's the only begotten. And begotten speaks of his uniqueness, his one-offness. He is the only one. He was not created in the sense that God created everything ex nihilo, because otherwise he would have created himself, right? No, he wasn't created. But he's the heir of all things. He made all things. Now listen to verse 3. Verse 3 and verse 4 are all one sentence. Let me just read it and then comment a little bit. We'll probably pick it up next time. Verse 3, and he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, verse 4, having become as much better than the angels, as he has inherited a more excellent name than they. Now, it is so easy to get lost in a sea of pronouns here, he and his, right? Particularly when you're just listening to it and you're not visually looking at the word right here. But even when you're visually looking at it, you go, what is going on here? So let me just cut to the chase because of time. And we'll continue to discuss this as we go along. We're seeing that Jesus became better than the angels. He became, not that he wasn't better than the angels to start with, but by that which he had done, what did he do? When he made purification of sins, how did he do that? Well, we're going to see more about that, but it's when he took on the form of flesh, he came, lived the sinless life, he was killed, he was dead, he was resurrected from the dead, and he ascended on high. He made purification for sins. He was the purification for sins. When he did that, he returned to glory, and he sat down at the right hand of the Father, the majesty on high. Well, what do we learn about the relationship between the majesty on high and Jesus? It tells us point blank in verse 3 that he, Jesus, is the radiance of his, God the Father's, glory and the exact representation of his nature, of the Father's nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. Jesus spoke everything into existence. He's spoken into existence. He holds and upholds everything by the word of his power. Father does this through the Son. Son does this through the Father. The Son is the radiance of the glory of the Father. He's the exact representation of his nature, and he upholds everything. That's crazy, isn't it? That is wild. It really gives us tremendous insight, not only to the relationship of Father and Son, but that the Son is the exact representation of that. It actually carries ideas of iconography, that kind of thing, the image. And the Greek word is character, representation, character. And it's a tool that was actually used for engraving, okay? A tool for engraving. So in other words, he's the exact picture of the Father. Well, my time's way past. We will continue this conversation. Again, I'm Dale. I'll see you next time.